May I wish you all a very blessed Easter, and may the Lord be close to every one of us as individuals and also as families. I'd like to come to the chapter that we had at the beginning, read at the beginning, and chapter 27 in Matthew and verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. What shall I do with Jesus? What I'd like to do this morning is to go over this reading and just to bring out one or two points that show the event that took place and apply it to our own hearts as well. The question that was asked by Pilate is something that could be asked to every person in this world. What shall we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? And it is quite a question, isn't it? What shall we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? The event that took place, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, although we know that it was an outstanding event in the history of the world, yet crucifixion was a commonplace occurrence in the behavior pattern of the Roman Empire. They thought nothing of taking all the men of a village if they had rebelled or shown any kind of disobedience in crucifying them. And there is one account where 2,000 men were crucified in one village. It was something quite ordinary as far as that is concerned. Yet in this particular crucifixion, God was there. And God was in it. And God was involved. And the amazing thing is this. At that time, it seemed as if the cross where Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem, it seemed to be such an insignificant event when you compare the might of the Roman Empire, the vastness and the power of that empire, and for the length of time it lasted. Yet the Roman Empire came and went, and the gospel went on. And many an empire has come and gone, and many a mighty nation have come and gone, and yet the gospel of Jesus Christ remains. And that is an amazing thing when you compare the might of Rome on the one hand and Caesar, and just a local governor condemning Jesus Christ to death on the other. And yet this was an event that's going to change the history of the world and the destiny of millions and millions of souls. And the issue is this, you see. It is an issue regarding our immortal souls. What we do with Jesus Christ will decide whether our destiny will be glory or whether it will be hell. It is as clear and as simple as that. And yet here we find Jesus Christ. And why is he here? He's here because God loved him. And there is a verse you and I all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me bring you then to the scene that we have in this particular chapter. Firstly then, the proposition of Pilate. Now, standing before Pilate is the Lord Jesus Christ. And before long, he's going to make an offer to the people. In his heart, he desired to release the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. Then there came the high priest and the various religious organizations, and they made many accusations against him. But he answered them nothing. And because of that, amongst other things, I'm sure, Pilate was deeply and greatly impressed that as these accusations came, and obviously they were false accusations, that he didn't answer them at all, that he remained silent, and his silence spoke very deeply to the heart of Pilate. But there was a custom, and Pilate felt, well, here is an opportunity for me to release this man. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And so there was a well-known criminal or a rebel of some sort, and his name was Barabbas. We all know that name. And what a terrible choice between Barabbas and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Pilate comes to the people, and he says, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye have I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now, think for a moment with me. Barabbas, a rebel, a murderer, a violent and a vile, and an ugly character, immoral and wicked and bad. And Jesus Christ, who could not lie, who could not sin, who could not be double-minded. That is, those three negatives show that he was pure, and that he was sinless, and that he was innocent, and that he was pure. What a difference between two men. Now, whilst that is taking place, that choice, a message comes to Pilate from his wife. And she's had a dream, and she's been very frightened. And she sends this message to him. "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And I'm sure that this would confirm the anxiety in Pilate's heart, and confirm also the rightness of releasing the Lord Jesus Christ. But the chief priests persuaded the multitude, and they are able. Men are able to persuade one another. We know this in all the realms of life. In times of a general election or anything special like that, men with enticing words are able to persuade people. And although many of them would admire Jesus Christ, many would have a love for him, many would have benefited from him, yet they listened to the high priest, the chief priest, and the multitude was swayed that they might desire to destroy Jesus Christ. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then?" Which they call for Barabbas. And then he said, Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." So they call for the release of Barabbas, but let him, the Lord Jesus Christ, be crucified. When I was having a time with the Lord, as you all would have had this morning, I tried to put myself into that time and to think of the reality of it. The reality of the soldiers and the noise of them. The tumult of an angry multitude. The angry noise that men can make with their voices. The screaming and the abuse of women. The cruelty of the chief priest and the others. And the desperation of Pilate. And the beauty of my Saviour in the midst of it all. Try to imagine what the cruelty of a crucifixion was. And the governor said, "Why, what hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate calls for a bowl of water. And before them all, he washes his hands. He says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Now there you see, so far, what have we? We have, by those who wanted to crucify him, a total rejection of Jesus Christ. They said, "On our heads be it, let his blood be on us. Don't you be worried about it. We take the responsibility, let his blood be on our heads." A total rejection, and the multitude choose evil. And that's the story of the world. Multitudes choose evil. There's a different kind of rejection here. Rejection of Pilate, and many can be guilty of this without realizing it. And he calls for this bowl of water and washes his hands. And this is what he says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see to it." But was he? You see, you can't opt out. There's no abstention. There isn't a for and against and an abstention. You can't vote out the Lord Jesus Christ. You either are for him or you're against him. But this man wanted to say, well, I'm not involved. It's a Jewish problem. It's a religious problem. I'm not involved. I don't want to get too deeply into religion. I don't mind going occasionally. I don't mind singing the occasional hymn, and I support Christianity, and if I'm anything, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to get too involved or too near that cross and its meaning, so I wash my hands. That is a rejection. Then the second thing I have is this, the presentation of Christ. Jesus is then delivered to be crucified. They put on him a scarlet robe, they give him a crown of thorns, and they say to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And we all know what mockery is like. Some are children here this morning, and we've all been children in our time. And we know how horrible it is when we are the wrong end of the stick, when an unpopular amongst our fellow children in school. It has been, I suppose, with all of us sometime or another. And where they've picked on you and they mock you. It's a terrible time when you go through a time of unpopularity among school children. But the mockery of men is a terrible thing. The mockery of women screaming for his death. The mockery of men saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and saying other things. "He could save others. Let him save himself. If God cares at all, let him do something now." But listen to this phrase in verse 36. "And sitting down," they actually sat down and looked at that cross. "And sitting down, they watched him." That's cold, isn't it? Cruel, cold hatred. "And sitting down, they watched him. And they made him a gazing stock for greedy and unbelieving eyes." And then they put above the cross, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And they reviled him. "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And so they sat and they watched him. Look at what we have so far. Crucify, crucify him. Total rejection. The blood on our heads. "I am washing my hands. I don't want to get too involved. I won't say that I'm against him. I won't say I'm for him. But I don't want to be involved." Yet still it's a rejection. And then these who go very far indeed. "Let us watch the nails. Let us see the blood. Let us see the anguish. Let us see what happens." And sitting down, they watch him. And yet, things did happen. He said something. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I think that must have been the most sensitive, poignant moment in all the history of the world. I think it must have been that moment when the angels in heaven, if they breathe like we breathe, held their breath, and that the silence of eternity must have spread through all the creation of God and the multitude of his created beings in the angelic host. And God himself, at that very moment, loving his Son so deeply, yet the wrath of God had to be against the sin that Jesus Christ was bearing, though he himself never became dirty, he never became sinful, but he took on him, our sin was imputed, put on him, he bore it. That is, he doesn't become a sinner, but he takes the blame and the shame and the responsibility of it. And he faces a pure God. And at that moment of punishment, he cries, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because there then is the intensity and the quality of eternal damnation of a myriad people laid on him. You see, that's why this cross remains. Other crosses, they merely died from the anguish of a crucifixion. He died with the weight of our sin. And the punishment was not only the nails, but the intensity of eternal damnation for a myriad souls. What men intended for evil would be the gateway to heaven. Do you know, my friends? I'm sure that many of you here are saved. I don't know if you all are. But here is the gateway to heaven. There is no other way. Not even being uninvolved and liking him, admiring him, and virtually washing your hands and yet be nice, that will not bring you to the gates of heaven. You must come to the very place where you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and as meeting there the wrath of God for you, for me, and paying the penalty in full. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high. Then lastly, the provision of grace. The profound meaning in the cross of Christ. Barabbas should have been there, but our Lord took his place. And in a way, there's a symbol there. Barabbas should have been on the cross for the due reward of his bad life. But he escapes that physical death. We can't say any more than that for Barabbas. But yet, isn't it a type, nevertheless, that I should be there, not on the cross particularly, but facing eternal damnation. Yet he is there and pays a penalty in full. He pays the penalty in our stead. He dies that you and I might live. That's a wonderful thing. He dies that you and I might live. We dare not add any merit to that. It is a full merit. It is a complete merit, because it is complete and satisfies God in heaven, the provision of grace in Jesus Christ. It is a remarkable picture of the truth there. Let me bring you to a hymn now, which says all I have to say. O sacred head, sore wounded. Some people say once wounded, that's all right. With grief and shame bowed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. How pale art thou with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that vivid language, which once was bright as morn. There's your scene. The grief and bitter passion were all for sinners' gain. That's why this is Good Friday. The grief and bitter passion were all for sinners' gain. Mine was a transgression. Remember, the God, Father and the Son and the Spirit, but here the Son that could not lie, that could not sin, that couldn't be double-minded. In him there is no variableness, no shadow turning, like his Father. Mine was a transgression. But thine, the deadly pain. There's no more pain to be suffered if I have believed. He bears it all. He pays a penalty in full. Mine was a transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Saviour. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favour. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. For somebody here this morning, think of that, your transgression, and yet he taking the pain in your stead. And you've been able to say maybe this morning, look on me with thy favour. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. The greatest favour that we can ever have is to have him to stand in our place and to meet the wrath of God, that we might be forgiven. How shall we avail ourselves of all this? Do you see your need? Have you yet come to the conclusion that we are a sinful people? Do you believe that he meets the need of a sinful person, and that he meets it fully, and it is complete in what he does? Then if you do, approach him. And as you approach him, God will be with you in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come, and he will give you that which you require to approach him. You go to him, desiring him, wanting him, wanting forgiveness. But he gives you faith to believe, which is a gift from God. And he gives you holy sorrow to repent of your sin. Remarkable things. You may not realize it's happening to you, but as you approach in that spirit of humility, you find that is what happens. And when your faith is in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, because they're dealt with. They're nailed to the cross. You have peace with God, and your place in heaven is secured. What language is a hymn writer? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. And the relationship is there forever, a forgiven soul, embraced in the pardon of Christ. Not hell, nor Satan or his whores, or circumstances, or the events of life are able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our immortal soul has found the only way to God. And when our time on earth is over, how shall we face the river of death and God and eternity? How terrible to face death with no help. How terrible to face God with no advocate. How terrible to face eternity separated from God forever. But the other is this, that when I go into the valley, and then, or rather, to the river of Jordan, wherever I am, underneath are the everlasting arms. Or through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And when I stand before God, I have an advocate on high, and I'm known by name. Why? Because I came to Calvary, I came to Jesus, and I believe. Do it now! Do it now! To be with a Savior. Be near me when I'm dying. O show thy cross to me. O show thy cross to me. Thy death my hope supplying. From death shall set me free. These eyes new faith receiving. From Jesus shall not move. For he who died believing. Dies safely through thy love. Look at that picture. When you're in a place and you don't know anyone except Jesus or anybody who can help you, your eye is on that person. But in this case, who do I look for? For Jesus. Why? He's the one I met at Calvary. So when I cross, then who am I looking for? I'm looking for my Savior. For he who dies believing dies safely through thy love. That's the message. It's a tremendous message. And before long we'll remember the great vindication of this when Jesus was raised from the dead by God. These things are true. When our generation has passed and the present empires of rule have also gone, the gospel will remain. And when other unknown empires or powers will rise and fall, the gospel remains until God shall come and end all in the second coming of our Savior in glory. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we ask thee this morning that many might come to a saving faith, to believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. Hymn 215. My song is Love Unknown, My Saviour's Love to Me. gracious and our Heavenly Father, we ask that our hearts might be prepared. And grant us, O Lord, a contrite and a broken heart, which thou wilt not despise, as we draw near to the table, and as we take of the bread and the wine. For this we ask in his name. Amen. We shall remain seated to sing a hymn whilst the bread and the wine is brought to us. The number of that hymn is 220, O Son of Man, O Son of God.
Thank you. Let us hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper as we find them written by the Apostle Paul in the first epistle to the Corinthian church and in the 11th chapter. We start reading at the 23rd verse. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Let us now pray together. Our Almighty God, our gracious and loving Lord, and our Heavenly Father, once again we bow before thee, with thy table spread before us, in obedience to thy command to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember especially upon this particular day, because we remember what day it is, and we have indeed been meditating in these last minutes and hours as to what the day really means to each one of us. We have, in a sense, done as those did who were at the crucifixion itself. Sitting there, they watched him. And indeed, Lord, we can share something of their experience as we remind ourselves of that cross of Calvary at this moment now. For as they did, Lord, we can see the physical agony of that cross. We can see the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember that this bread before us now symbolizes that broken body. We can see in our imagination the shed blood, the blood which is symbolized in the wine which we're about to take. And with them too we can hear as he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Though they had no understanding of what it was that he was saying. But we can go further than they can, Lord. We can see the purpose for which he was put upon that cross. And we remember with the hymn writer that because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. And so we remember again. We truly do remember the purpose of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bow before thee now, in this thy house and before thy table. So we ask thee, Lord, that as we come to thee, we may come with a true humility in our minds and hearts. That we may see something of what we are in thy sight. That we may come to realize that we are still sinners and always will be sinners while we are here upon this earth. But we have a way of salvation open to us and a cleansing path available to us. So as we come to the table now and we take these elements, help us to remember what it is we're remembering, why we come here, and help us to take them in accordance with thy will. For we ask these things that the Lord Jesus Christ may be further glorified and uplifted among us and before men. We ask it in his name. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Heavenly Father, look upon us who are so unwilling to be broken. that we might consider him who was broken for us, and that we too, O Lord, might be broken of our pride, that we might be raised up as thy children. We ask thee, our Father, to look upon us and be merciful to us and help us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. We confess, Father, our many sins and would name them before thee. We admit that we have not loved thee as we should. But, O Heavenly Father, we thank thee that as sinners we are forgiven, and that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we have peace with God. And this we do in remembrance of him. And we thank thee, our Father, for that lovely knowledge in our hearts, that we are right with God through Jesus Christ our Saviour, and that we shall have an acceptance in glory, because thou dost look on us as found in him, and we shall be received by thee into the fullness of the glory of heaven, an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, Father, bless us. Bless our souls, and let us have a reality about eternal things, a clarity, O Lord, in our spiritual life, and that we might desire to live to the glory of God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.